It's the last Sunday of July 2019, and Southside Broadcasting, in association with Pharmanor Nutritional Supplements, is actually on location at the Saltburn International Food Festival. In a few moments' time, we'll be speaking to some of the exhibitors who are currently in the process of actually setting up and being established at this whole place. And we'll also be joined by a new co-presenter. That'll be York Atkinson, all being well. Jenny Finch, RH writer, will be joining us as well as we cover some of the sights and sounds of this awesomely wonderful International Food Festival in Saltburn by the Sea. The very first interviewee, of course, when it comes to food festivals is absolutely crucial and vital, and the person who's actually taking on board that role, and we're privileged to actually feature from Lacey's traditional cheesemaking in the Yorkshire Dales, is the fabulous Poppy.
Hi.
Poppy, you're in the midst of obviously setting up now, because we haven't officially launched the whole system yet, but I do recall 2 years ago, Lacey's traditional cheesemaking, you produced some outstanding material here.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
So do you have a favourite then? I mean, are you more of a cracked black pepper person, or are you a creamy rich brie, or are you a fresh goat's cheese lady?
Oh, I do like them all, but my favourite's got to be the goat's cheese, I'd say, yeah.
One of the great things about the food festival, of course, as well as its size and quality, of course, that you've actually got here, is it really celebrates the localness of the whole thing. How far have you come to be here?
Oh, well, I was asleep on the way here because Dad drove, but I'd say maybe about 40 minutes, but we're up at 5 o'clock this morning, so yeah.
And were you one of those folk who actually sort of braved the weather last year, when of course it was rained off?
Yeah, we were. We still came and we still sold to everyone. We wouldn't miss it, no.
That was a full-back position, of course, which Lorna actually was keen to actually stress this year, and that's great to know. But I think we're going to be okay today. I think we have one or two showers, but it should be good.
Yeah, it seems all right. It's not too hot, which is good for the cheese, and it doesn't look like it's going to rain too bad, so that's good.
So we, a few weeks ago, were obviously at the Great Yorkshire Show, big cheese sort of scenario there. Were you at the Great Yorkshire yourself?
No, we don't do the Great Yorkshire Show, but we do the County Show and lots of other big shows as well.
Well, I won't keep you any longer because lots of great things here, but I do need to mention, obviously, in terms of actually sorting through this, I see that you run cheese making courses and tailor-made cheese wedding cakes, so just talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah, so we do the cheese making courses. They've really like gotten big the past couple of years. We do them in our factory at Wreath, so it's a really lovely location. It's a full day, it's 10 till 4, you get really like involved in the whole process of making cheese, you have a great cheese board for lunch. Yeah, and it's got really good reviews on Facebook, all 5-star reviews.
I'm not surprised. You mentioned obviously Facebook there, social media, Twitter as well, of course, Lacey's Cheese, or presumably lacey'scheese.co.uk for the website.
Yeah, so the Facebook page is more active than the website, and it's just Lacey's Cheese, so you'll be able to find it.
Well, we're continuing our little promenade of the fabulous Saltburn International Food Festival, and we have been attracted by what is basically a Teesside delicacy. We've got Palm Star that's being provided in front of us, and we're talking to
John Colson and Lisa Chung. We own Palm Star.
John and Lisa, fantastic. Now, talk to us about this, which is very much renowned almost throughout the globe, really, not just throughout the United Kingdom, as being a Teesside delicacy. How did you get involved with it?
Indeed. Well, I was born in Middlesbrough, so I've been eating Palmos kind of like all my life. And it's kind of our version of the Cornish pasty, I suppose, but better. You know, you find them in restaurants, takeaways, everything. It's fish and chips and pizza rolled into one.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, not necessarily the most healthiest of things, but presumably, with this health conscious days, are we looking to have a healthier Palmo? I mean, I do love the I Love Palmos Me the slogan that you've got on the back of your T-shirts.
Well, we fry in rapeseed oil to minimise the amount of grease. We use panko breadcrumb, which doesn't hold onto as much oil. We fry at high temperature. We cook everything from scratch. And we make all our sauces ourselves. So I don't see why Palmo is always like castigated as being unhealthy. Are the Germans guilty about schnitzel? Are the Americans guilty about chicken parm? No. So why should we be guilty about the Palmo?
Well said, sir. I can see a new political party forming, which is fantastic.
God forbid.
Yeah, true. Last year, of course, we had challenges with the weather. This year, I think it's going to be okay. How many food festivals have you got under your belt now?
We try and do at least sort of two or three like events a month.
Third.
We were here last year, but only in capacity as punters, where we came and bought some pies and scotch eggs.
Which makes sense. Well, I mean, it's looking great today. I know you're in the midst of setting up. I can tell this is going to be an area that'll be flooded with folk and keen folk looking for the whole thing. Do you have a website?
We don't actually have a website. It's under reconstruction.
Okay. But is there a Facebook page?
Yeah, it's at Palm Star UK, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all online.
Palm Star UK, and they are Palm Stars. Many thanks indeed, John and Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Very busy.
We have just finished, obviously, you might have heard, dear listener, the joys of the Palmo stand. And who should actually turn up when we're dealing with Palmos? No, he's not a Palmo consumer. Oh, maybe he might be. I don't know. It's the fabulous York Atkinson. Hi, York.
Hello. I'm very good. Thank you very much. I am a Palmo consumer.
Are you?
Yes. I have to say I'm guilty as charged of consuming the occasional Palmo after maybe a few too many drinks, but we shan't go into
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, who knows? We might sort of, when they're fully set up, we might come back to actually do a taste test from that point of view. Lorna, the event organiser, is currently doing all sorts of things, etc. This is your first Saltburn International Food Festival, though?
It's not my first. It's probably my second, but I haven't specifically come before. It's sort of come to Saltburn. Oh, it happens to be on. What a bonus. But I have sort of gone around.
I'm aware
before.
Of the whole thing, actually.
Yeah.
Just share with us and the listener, of course, the thoughts of your as you came in today, because presumably you were dropped off successfully.
I was dropped off successfully by my mother, a fantastic woman. Yes, getting up nice and early. But I just the sort of the noise, the atmosphere already. You know, it's quite early in the morning, but everything is sort of hustling and bustling. And everyone's sort of getting ready for the day ahead, so it looks fantastic.
Well, coming up in a few moments, York, it will be your first official Southside Broadcasting Midweek Drive on location interview. So, what do you say, right or left?
Right.
Clearly, the notion of a Scarborough food festival, actually any food festival, without the joys of Blueberry Hill preserves, it's just not going to work, is it, Rob?
Never works. We're always here. Yeah, I think you are my annual stalker, I think, about three times a year at this point in time, at least. But we always enjoy seeing you, and it's lovely to be here back in Saltburn again.
Absolutely. Now, we're actually here just as you're about to actually set up and do all the rest of the bits and pieces there, but we've also brought a newbie along today from the joys of Newcastle University. This is York.
Hi, York. Pleased to meet you.
Hi, pleased to meet you, too.
York, any questions you'd like to put to Rob about life, the universe, or basically preserves, Wensley Days, cheese, truckles, big flavours, great taste?
Well, sort of, when did you start this up then? Where did you sort of, your passion come from? Why did you decide, I'm going to get in preserves, cheese, that sort of thing?
It's a real simple story, to be honest. Me and my wife have always been corporate people, so always in sales and marketing in big companies, worked around the UK and overseas for a long period of time. And about 10 years ago, so I'm 57 now, so just approaching 50, I guess, we just got to the stage where I think we were a bit exhausted, a bit worn out, a bit tired of the rat race, different generations, different attitudes to a work environment, and we just wanted out. We wanted to work for ourselves, which was the easy part. The hard part is knowing what to do. We thought food and drink, people will always need to food and drink, even in eat and drink, even in times of austerity. So we looked around at what was available, what was a non-perishable item, because that was important to us as well, because we didn't want to have the risk of waste. And here we are, doing our own range of chutneys and preserves and curds, and we bolted on Wensleydale Cheese. They're one of our main, they're our main partner, so we retail Wensleydale Cheese on their behalf, and they sell our products in their shop up at Hawes, and 9 years later we're still going strong, I think.
Fantastic, brilliant. And so sort of have you got any sort of new flavours for this year's festival, or just sort of the same success one?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a fair question. Our really quiet time of year is January, February, March. So what we do is we tend to launch any new products, and we do launch two or three every year just to keep it fresh for our regular customers, usually at the 1st of April. Well, not exactly the 1st of April, because that wouldn't work, would it? But you know what I mean. That sort of time. And then what we do is throughout the year, throughout April to December, we take feedback from customers, we take feedback from event organisers, we put our own ideas in, we write them all down in a big book, get to January, and then we start making a few bits and pieces, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work in very small scale. Most of the things we try don't work, but you just get the odd gem now and again that works really, really well. So we say, okay, that goes into the range. And we're very hard about business, so when we rate our products, which we do at the end of the year, we always drop the bottom three sellers.
However, relegated.
Yeah, relegated. Yeah, semi-permanently, not always permanently. Depends on...
That's on the Middlesbrough.
I couldn't possibly comment when I'm in Saltburn. Goodness me. No matter how good we think the product is, if it's not the best seller, if it's one of the bottom three, we drop it and we replace it with a new three. And that can be anything from sweet to savoury. We try all sorts of different things. Some work, some don't. That's life, isn't it? But that's part of the fun as well.
Rob, I know Emily sends her very best, so hopefully you'll be sharing some brass instrument playing or woodwind or stuff in the not-too-distant future.
We'd like to think so, yeah. The band's still going strong. Reggie and the Screamers, for anybody who wants to look us up. And we've still got Emily in mind for a little bit of sax playing at some stage, so fingers crossed.
Absolutely. I know it's going to be an awesomely successful day for your good self today, Rob, so we wish you all the very best. Where's your next event?
Next event is, good question, where else are we? Next weekend, we're at Emily Show on the Saturday, Under the Mast there, and then we're at Tockwith Show, which is a local one to us, just outside Weatherby on the Sunday.
And of course it is blueberryhillpreserves.co.uk if you're looking to follow online.
Certainly is, feel free to do so.
It's wonderful how radio people tend to gravitate together, even when radio people have moved on to form Chunk, the fantastic sort of chocolate adventure that's there. Because if I recall, when we spoke 2 years ago, you'd kind of just left the radio industry behind you there.
I did, actually, yeah. Well, I've been doing this for a while now, but I've got a shop now in Stokesley. So I've just sort of taken this and flown with it, really.
And of course your name is?
Natalie Collins.
Exactly, just in case people are thinking, oh, is that Mrs. Chunk? No, it's Natalie Collins. Just get the thing sorted through there. Chunk, a chocolate adventure. You've even got the golden ticket there. I mean, this just seems amazing. Natalie, talk us through Chunk this year.
Oh, well, basically I've started doing workshops this year. I just thought that it was something else that I could offer as part of my business. And I've actually brought some with me today, so people can actually book and pay for a chocolate workshop, and they can buy a golden ticket. It's a Willy Wonka style golden ticket as well. I went all out.
I notice. Well, we actually have Mickey's debut on location reporting duties today, York Atkinson. York, to me, strikes me as the sort of young man, graduate of Newcastle University, who might benefit from a chocolate-making course. What do you think, Natalie?
I think he looks like he's wasting away. I think he needs a bit of chocolate, don't you?
York?
I do love chocolate, I have to say. Tell me a little bit about sort of the breaking away from radio and coming into chocolate. Where did that sort of love come from?
Well, I could go on for hours, and I won't, obviously. I just worked in radio, and so did my husband, and he went in one direction and I went in another. I'm a very creative person, but hands-on. I didn't realise the kind of creativity I really love to do. And I also love the stimulation of customers and people. I love my customers. So when you put those two things together, this business is kind of tailor-made for my personality. And the radio wasn't quite enough for me. I like to create things and make things with my hands. So even when I was working in radio, I'd come home and make cakes and paint rooms and do all sorts of weird and wonderful things. So this suits me down to the ground.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
It's looking great. And again, a reminder that online and on the socials, you can be found via...
I have a website, chunkchocolates.co.uk. I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
And if memory serves, your daughter was with you a couple of years ago. How's she these days?
She's literally just popped to the car with the rest of the stuff. She's helped me set up this morning. She's like my comfort blanket. I get here and I'm in a tiz. And she sort of calms me down and helps me out. And she's wonderful. She helps me with the workshops too.
And I'm sure it'll only be a matter of time before you'll be at the Great Yorkshire Show next year, no doubt.
Oh, well, you never know. Never say never.
Jochen Thwaite, start the day our way. Would you like to share with us what Jochen Thwaite is all about, apart from gluten-free porridge and real simple muesli?
Jochen Thwaite Farm is where we live and where we started our business, which is in the Yorkshire Dales, in the heart of the Yorkshire Dales, in Wharfdale. We've lived and farmed at Jochen Thwaite since 1842.
You're looking very good for it, it has to be said.
Yes, well, better some days than others.
Just shows the quality and efficacy of Jochen Thwaite product, really.
And Hill Sheep Farmers, we diversified into bed and breakfast, and I used to offer granola cereal and porridge to our guests, made from fresh rolled porridge oats and stone ground flour, which we sourced locally. It proved very popular with our guests, who wanted to take some home after they'd stayed with us, and then...
The rest is history, quite literally from that point of view. Well, let's turn to our co-host today, York, who I'm sure would obviously like to start the day in a proper way with respect to Jochen Thwaite. Thoughts from yourself?
I think it's fantastic, especially the history that you'd mentioned. Why gluten-free? Is it sort of quite a popular thing?
Well, gluten-free isn't really what we're about. We do offer one line of products that are gluten-free, but our primary product is the granola cereal that we make. We offer the gluten-free because we do have some customers that are celiac or are on gluten-free diets, but our star product is the granola, which is the one that I offered to our B&B guests. So, and we make that ourselves.
And have you actually been a regular at the Saltburn Food Festival? I can't recall actually seeing you before. Is this your first?
No, it's not. We came for the first two or three years, and then for family reasons and other reasons, couldn't come. Then last year was cancelled because of the weather, so we're back here hoping for a good day.
Excellent. Well, it will be, and it's delighted to, and we're delighted to actually have shared some thoughts with your good self. Your name, of course, it's not... Is it Mrs. Yockenthwaite?
Mrs. Hurd, Elizabeth. Yeah.
Elizabeth, many thanks indeed. I know, is your husband sort of currently working, getting everything sorted out as we speak?
Yes, he's the one that does all the fetching and carrying, or that's what he claims.
Logistics, he says. It's all about the logistics. Many thanks indeed. Oh, finally, is there a web address that people can be pointed to if they can't get to the food festival today?
Certainly. It's www.yockenthwaitefarm.co.uk, and Yockenthwaite spelled Yockenthwaite.
This little pig went to market. This little pig stayed at home. This little pig set up a company which became very successful for rare breed pork.
Hello.
We're speaking now to...
Gillian Little.
Gillian, talk to us about what we've got here, which basically seems to be guaranteed to be a success in any food festival, let alone the Saltburn International Food Festival, this little pig naturally reared food company.
So we are a small holding based in Farndale on the North York Moors. We have 10 acres and only 4 breeding sows. And the market is something that we've always wanted to do. We want to try and get good quality product out to the customers from pigs that have had a happy life.
Well, I mean, I can't think of anything more wonderful than that. I mean, I'm filling up already, York.
I think it sounds fantastic. I absolutely love sausages, specifically. So especially one that looks as fantastic as this, as with the range of flavours that I can see there. What is the sort of strangest flavour that you've ever sort of thought of combining your meat?
I think possibly maybe a blue Stilton and prune.
Adventurous.
For a Christmas sausage. Not that we've ventured that far, because we're not butchers, you see. So we have to ask the butcher to make the sausages for us. But we do all types of other cuts as well, and we do those wonderful joints where you pop it in the oven on a Sunday, and you take it out, and the crackling is to die for.
You're doing this deliberately, aren't you? You've got no tasting samples here, and you're literally actually just painting these pictures time and time again. Unbelievable. It's important to actually bear in mind that the thing about rare breed pork is, if it wasn't for folk like yourself, actually these rare breeds would no longer exist.
Absolutely, that's very true. And we breed Berkshire pigs, which is known, it's a Japanese delicacy. I think it's Kubota it's pronounced. And we're just starting to get quite a lot of interest in people wanting the Berkshire pig. And one of our things that we really, really would like people to understand is that just like beef, pig tastes different, pork tastes different. If you get Gloucester Old Spot pork, it's going to be different to Berkshire, it's going to be different to Saddleback, it's going to be different to Tamworth. You know, so it's really important to understand the breed that you're eating as well.
Awesome. You mentioned Saddleback. That's one of the things that pigs species I do like, or breeds I like, basically because they're easy to actually identify because they look as though they've got a saddle on their back.
They are. Well, the Berkshire pig's a black pig, a little bit similar to the Saddleback. It doesn't have floppy ears, it has prick ears, which a lot of people think prick-eared pigs are harder to look after because they can see where they're going. So the floppy-eared pigs are a lot easier because their ears fall over their eyes and they can't see anything and they're lollipop.
Ignorance is bliss.
Absolutely, and they lollipop out everywhere. But no, the Berkshire pig, it's a black pig, it's got white socks and a white streak down its nose and a white tip on the end of its tail. But unlike the large black, when you kill it out, it actually has a pink skin. So a lot of people don't like buying large black because it has a black skin. So that often goes into sausages, but the Berkshire is beautiful.
And there's no truth that it actually goes wee, 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 wee all the way home then?
No.
That's fine. Just want to clarify that.
You've got to clarify these things, haven't you?
Best web address to reach you if folk can't actually sort of get to the festival event. Presumably thislittlepigcompany.co.uk?
That's right. info@thislittlepigcompany.co.uk. Website thislittlepigcompany.co.uk.
When one comes across a store which is clearly already set up and established, you know that the people mean business, and quite rightly so, when you actually have got the name ACORN, it's Acorn, and we're speaking now to
Nigel Pringle.
Nigel, talk to us. I won't talk about the obvious connection with the brand of crisps there, but you know, for obvious reasons.
All the jumpers.
Exactly. Just step away from that completely. Yeah. And let's go into this world of homemade jams and chutneys, local honey and so on. Talk to us about your stand here at the Saltburn International Food Festival.
Sure. Well, I mean, most of this all came about sort of more or less by accident. I started keeping bees and I wanted to sort of produce honey, which we now do. And the jams were sort of like, we've always made sort of our own preserves, and everybody said they were so good we should start selling them, and so we did, and we've been going for about 8 or 9 years now.
Brilliant. So this will presumably not be your first Saltburn Food Festival.
No, it's probably my last though.
No. Yeah. Does Lorna know? It'd be devastating.
Well, Lorna is probably responsible for it because she's got about 8 or 9 different jams and chutneys.
Exactly,
on.
That's my point. And I mean, great founder of the food festival, yeah. and great Real Meals, yeah. of course, as well.
Yeah. Then there's also what really annoys... Sorry to have a moan.
No, carry on.
But basically, they've got jam producers on here who are wholesalers, people who just buy it in and sell it. And thereon, we've got the sausage sellers on here who do the same, don't even make their own. It's destroyed the art of what a proper farmer's market is. It's supposed to be about the producers.
That's a fair point, and obviously it will be relayed back, so we work through that. York?
I love honey, and I love local produce, definitely. Why do you think it's important to support local business? Why is that specifically important to you?
Specifically, the economics of the situation is that £50 spent on a local business is worth about £100 to the local community, whereas if you spend £50 in somewhere like Sainsbury's, that probably brings about £20 back into the local community. It seems strange, but basically, you know, money I take today I will spend on other stallholders' produce to go home with, and it will be spent on local ingredients to sort of to make the chutneys and the jams with, whereas places like Sainsbury's and Tesco's, all the supermarkets, they've got pension funds, they've got shareholders who need paying. You know, their interest is not really focused on the local communities.
It's great to actually go into economics 101 as well from this point of view, so it's a nice line. Now, from your own professional perspective, I'm going to ask you the question, what kind of man do you think York actually is when it comes to tasting? Because I know maybe tasting's, maybe you just start tasting, but what would you recommend in terms of the selection of homemade jams and chutneys you got here?
Well, they're all good. A lot of it depends on your own personal taste. I don't usually do tasters because we've got so far. But I do have honey tasters. So if you'd like to try some of the honeys, maybe you could describe the tastes.
Okay.
On...
Are you up for a honey tasting, Rob?
Definitely.
Okay, this is good news for Rob. So talk us through this then, as we go through this process at the front of the stand here. Yeah. And we pass, obviously, Beechwood honey drizzlers and so on.
This time of the year, I've got 3 basic honeys. We've got a spring honey, which is a soft set honey. We've got summer blossom honey, which was actually harvested on Wednesday of this week. Which is a runny honey, and I've got heather honey, which is a specific monofloral honey from the North Yorks moors.
I know the old Buddhist statement is, where there is choice, there is misery, but Rob, York, you're going to have to make the choice now. Which one are you going to go for?
Oh, I'm thinking the... Well,
it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You can try them all.
Whoa.
Well, okay then. I won't say no to that.
But I would probably start with the summer blossom, mm-hmm. and finish with the heather honey, because okay. the heather honey is probably the strongest tasting one, and it'll sort of destroy
you. Yeah, that's,
your...
that's okay. kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And okay. Right, well, let's go. I mean, Robert, we'll actually comment on this whole system as York does his whole system here.
A live tasting on.
Yes, it'll work. Honestly, we've got faith in the whole system, and I'm sure it'll be a wonderful thing. Actually, we even have an insect that's actually come along to say hello as well. Interesting, of course, the natural local honey. We often speak at the Lincolnshire Country Show and, of course, at the Great Yorkshire Show about the importance of bees and various other bits of bees. Has the fear and the panic that we've actually gone through with respect to bee populations over the years, has that improved?
In terms of numbers of beekeepers, honeybees are pretty safe because the number of beekeepers has been going up and up. It's become a very popular, probably because of the publicity about the bees. Where there's a lot of concern is for the other pollinators, more the bumblebees than the honeybees.
We'll be getting sounds, etc. How's it shaping up, York?
It's absolutely fantastic. It's really light on the tongue. And it's sort of the sweetness sort of slowly releases, but it's kind of on the tip. It's hard to describe, but it's on the tip. It's very sweet, but not overly sweet. It's nice, very nice.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that we were panicking.
What is interesting is that sort of every year and every month, the honey will have to be slightly different because the bees are on different flowers and different nectar sources. So come the last crop that I usually take off, which is usually towards the end of August, this has a lot of Himalayan blossom. Himalayan balsam in it, which gives it more or less a toffee-ish aftertaste.
I'm always amazed by how wonderfully coordinated beehives happen to be. I've even heard it said that bees actually play a version of football in their hives as well, which is astounding. It's a second, I gather, York?
Ooh, definitely. Just the soft-set honey there. And you instantly get the crystallised sort of taste from soft-set honey. But, yeah, it's fantastic. It's really nice.
Let food be thine, that be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food, as the Hippocrates quote goes.
Absolutely.
And finally, have we worked our way through all three of them there? This is going to be the crucial one.
Oh, yes. this is a Marmite honey. It's also one of the few honeys that really smells of the flowers that it comes from. That's what the... You smell that, and you smell the heather moors, which they'll be there sort of in the next couple of weeks.
See what you did there?
Wonderful.
Yeah, of course.
Wow. Yeah. It's got kind of... You know when you smell sort of like a classic leather, it's got that kind of really depth of flavour. It's quite a deep, floral, but sort of like more like a, you know, if you're walking through heather, that's what it is, that's that smell.
Well, the heather's just coming out. I was taking my bees up onto the moors last week, so we're up there now, and fingers crossed, because it can be a funny old crop. Some years you get a lot, some years you don't.
Acorn preserves, homemade jams and chutneys. It's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self. Let's hope it's not going to be your last Saltburn International Food Festival. We'll talk about that another time. What about where people can actually find you online and so on?
Just Google Acorn Preserves, acornpreserves.com. We have got a Facebook page somewhere, but I've not been very Facebook.
It's fair to say that actually from small Acorn Preserves, mighty taste savers can actually go.
Oh, yes.
Go stage further now. The Saltburn International Food Festival without the Skinning Grove Country Wine Company, just it wouldn't work at all. And we're delighted now to speak to the awesome
Ian Coles of Skinning Grove Country Wines.
Ian, as ever, your stand is looking absolutely perfect. It's looking elegant. You've got beetroot wine, you've got blackberry and elderberry wine, you've got blueberry wine. It's been a busy winemaking year, I can see.
It's been very busy. I do about 42 different ones, so it's... There's something for everybody, rosé, white, but they're not great wines. They're made from fruit, which I pick locally, or things like nettles or herbs. It's what they call country wines, old-fashioned ways of making wine, like the old parsnip wine your gran used to make and things like that.
And one of the reasons, no doubt, why the International Food Festival here at Saltburn continues to grow in from strength to strength.
I'd like to think so. I've been coming to Saltburn Farmers Market for many, many years now, and Saltburn Food Festival is just fabulous, apart from their little blip last year. But I think we've been doing
that was a little bit divine. But interesting enough, even allowing for that, I think the fact that Lorna still managed to put something together last year, indoors admittedly, but at least it was credit to her for doing that.
It was. It was rescuing something, I think, but she's done marvellously well to organise this whole thing. It's a fabulous event.
Exactly. York, thoughts?
I'm just taken back by the sheer...
Being a graduate, you're not really a wine drinker. Being a journalist graduate, presumably doesn't come into it at all.
Oh, yeah. I've never touched a drop in my life. That would be a big lie. But, yeah, just looking at the array that you've got here, one that stands out for me, though, and you're going to have to explain this, beetroot wine. Where did that come from, then?
Don't say beetroot. I know. I could see you're going to say that.
Well, actually, strangely enough, it sounds a bit odd, and people think beetroot wine. I don't fancy that. But it actually is a very nice wine. It's dry, it's earthy, it's quite strong. It's got hints of pepper and cloves in it, a little bit of ginger, and it's really quite nice.
I see the sign which says all our wines are fermented using organic sugars and honeys. Many of the ingredients are gathered locally either from the hedgerows or organic farms and gardens. And great news, no additives such as artificial flavourings or colourings are actually used. So the wines are wholesome and maintain the virtue of the original ingredients.
And all wines are vegetarian, most are vegan. One or two have honey in, but most are vegan, but definitely all vegetarian.
You know, when Jenny Finch joins us later on this morning, I'm sure that rather than hying off to France for her wine system, she should still have just put in bulk orders with the Skinning Grove Country Wine Company.
I think she should. I think a lot of people should.
We'll go with that. Is there a web address that you've got that you'd like to promote?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page. And if you look up skinninggrovecountrywines.co.uk, you'll find a website there.
Well, clearly, having discussed and outlined the beetroot wine, York is now going to actually take his life into his hands. No, not obviously. He's actually going to taste the beetroot. Your thoughts?
Well, it smells fantastic. It
smells fantastic, so this is good. The sip is now coming through there. And the overall thought on this fine Sunday morning is?
Very palatable. That's lovely. That's really nice. You don't sort of... I was expecting like a real hit of beetroot, but it's sort of nicely balanced with the ginger that you were saying is in there. Quite potent. It's nice. Very nice.
We can't obviously have an inebriated co-producer, so we'll just hold fire on that particular one. But again, have a fantastic festival. I know you will. And hopefully we'll hear much, much more of the Skinning Grove Country Wine Company as the years proceed.
I hope you do.
The Teesside Coffee Company. Clearly, York has been drawn over here, not only to actually sort of ensure that he kind of balances out his tasting of the wine with, of course, some of the wonderful cakes and slices from the awesome Relish Cafe. Talk to us about the Relish Cafe, please.
So, the Relish Cafe is a brand. We do a lot of farmers' markets. We sell brownies and slices.
And, I mean, just the layout itself, I mean, this is going to be a winner today, I know that. Your name, so, of course, is?
Matthew Jackson.
Matthew, talk to us about just how much preparation goes into producing something like this for an event like the Saltburn International Food Festival.
Our baker spends nearly a full week baking. She's done about 70, 80 hours this week.
Is this the young lady who's actually currently sort of putting this up?
Sarah, yeah.
Hello, Sarah. Yeah.
Hello!
Yes, Sarah, the hard-working baker who's just sort of sorted the whole thing through whilst you'll have to do media interviews and so on. But I think the effort is worth it, clearly.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a great day for everyone to come to, and it's great for the business as well. So,
York, questions?
I have to say, how long did it take you to find the perfect brownie recipe? Because we've got brownies here that are literally probably the size of my fist. So I'm very intrigued to find out a little bit more about those.
Yeah, brownies the size of York's fist. I wouldn't necessarily say that's a bet. That's an ideal sort of strap line. But Sarah,
it probably took me about 15 years to find the best brownie recipe, and lots of mistakes were made over the years. But this is definitely the best.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Now, Sarah, I'll turn to you as the sort of chef for this. What do you think, York? It's his first location report with us for Southside Broadcasting. What do you think he would sort of prefer? I mean, what should he taste, really, in terms of the range of things we've got here?
Oh.
What sort of brownie man do you think he is?
Oh, no, I think it's a chocolate orange. Oh,
we've got a disagreement here. Chocolate orange or so.
I like both, but I would definitely say salted caramel is more pip to the poster a little bit.
Obviously, yeah. It's the male recognition there. One male can recognise another salted caramel male. It's just fantastic. Are we up for, is it possible for him to have a quick live on-air test of the salted caramel? Are we good to go? Okay, we'll go with this. Okay, that's there we are. So if we have... there we are.
Just it's
this could be very exciting from that point of view.
Oh, no, I can't take the whole one.
Well, we're all right. Our budget will probably sort of cover it in all sorts of ways. All right, no, take the thing, you're full the whole thing.
A full thing?
Yeah, whilst we're waiting. Normally, is that normally the response we get?
A good big bite.
A good big bite. It's fine. That's good. Now, obviously, he's not going to actually sort of do a reporting thing whilst his mouth's open, because crumbs will get everywhere. So we'll talk about through this whole system. I think this is going to be something that's going to be repeated during the course of the day, basically. Anyways.
Wow.
Wow. That's incredible. It's really like so like soft and moist. It's really good. What have you got in there? Because it's got. I don't. Oh.
I figured it's something about. Listen, how can we find you guys in the world outside beyond the Saltburn Food Festival?
We do all the Northern Dales farmers markets, so Stewart's Park, Preston Park, Wynyard.
It's all there. And are you on the socials? Are you on the Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter? Do we have a way of actually reaching you online?
Yep, we're on Facebook, Twitter. We've got our website, the Teesside
Coffee Company.co.com.
In the background, the Teesside Coffee, it's been fantastic. York is obviously so well sorted through with this, so obviously our budget has just gone through the roof on this, but it's okay, we can go with that. York, happy with that?
Absolutely, it's fantastic, I have to say. Best brownie I've tasted, genuinely. It's really good.
Every so often, we like to actually feature folk from, shall we say, the general public. And indeed, now we've got somebody who's kind of connected with one of our co-hosts today. No, it's not Jenny Finch, but it could well be a connection that has also served as a taxi farrier today for York. Of course, it's the fabulous...
Hello, I'm Julie.
Julie, good to connect with your good self. Now, I gather from York that you were here a couple of 2 or 3 years ago. Is this your sort of second Saltburn Christmas Market or Christmas Market? Food festival?
I think I've been about 3 times, so this is about my 3rd time.
And your thoughts?
I love it, absolutely love it. It's a fantastic celebration of local connoisseurs of crafts and foods and everything that's wonderful to celebrate about the North.
I've certainly been very impressed with how Lorna has really put this whole thing together. There are those of us before York was born who remember when the Saltburn Victorian Week was very much putting the whole town on the map. But this is a wonderful sort of 21st century equivalent, really.
It is, absolutely. And I mean, it's absolutely famous, the Victorian celebrations we do here, because everyone's in costume. And this is another way of celebrating. Just such a fantastic place as well to have such a lovely food market.
And probably one of the reasons why Saltburn regularly gets named in the Times best Teesside and Seaside resorts to go to.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's got so many attractions when they're not having this wonderful festival, and you just can't help but come and visit.
Yeah. We're just actually observing a genius at work here, because it's Lorna Jackson who actually had creative and he put this whole thing together. Lorna, we're just observing your work here and the wonderful way you were using imperial and metric measurements to actually identify where these stallholders will go today.
Imperial and metric, am I?
Yeah, that's great. That's
well, you see, some people have 3 metre gazebos and some have 2.4
exactly.
foot or 8 foot stalls. It's moving 3 metres to 8 foot.
Perfect thing to bear in mind when we're dealing with Brexit negotiations. I won't talk about that. You are the genius behind all this today. We've already had so many wonderful things. Do you want to actually deal with this customer whilst we hold this exhibitor?
I don't know. Shall I? Are you going to pause for a moment?
Yes, we'll pause. We'll pause, and whilst this whole thing gets sorted through, and I'll just actually continue chatting with York. I'm always amazed at how, as you've just said, York, the organisation for this thing is really put together, because it brings the whole street alive, brings the whole town alive.
It definitely does. I think it's interesting logistically, because Saltburn's not a massive place, hasn't got... I mean, the high street's a decent size, but the amount of stalls that you can see sort of crammed onto the street is fantastic. But they're not crammed. They're done in a really sort of eloquent way, and it's brilliant.
I think we'll be lucky if we can get a few more words from you, Lorna, because as you can tell, she's basically being flooded with all sorts of things. It's nice to see that, unlike certain food festivals, various other things, where the exhibitors have to deal with somebody who's at the end of a telephone, Lorna's out and about and actually sorting this whole thing through. So we'll hopefully continue in a few seconds, etc. And say, Lorna, we'll obviously keep this brief, because this is... I mean, you've got obviously the grand list of everything that's actually there. Just talk us through some of the statistics this year in terms of numbers of exhibitors and so on.
So we've got 142 food traders. We've got food from 5 continents, all made by people that have chosen to live and work and settle here in the North East. Some of us born and bred in the North East, some people that have clearly, you know, come from somewhere else in the world, brought the food with them. We've got people that have travelled. We've got the Korean, little Korean, he went to Korea, fell in love with the food, married, brought his wife, and they cook lovely Korean dumplings, you know. So we've got the German, Memories of the Black Forest from Gunther, who settled here in the North East, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but hasn't forgotten how to cook his lovely German bratwursts. And then we've got Simply Cheesecakes and the Parmo Burgers, you know, straight from Teesside,
exactly.
Born and bred.
Well, you'll not be surprised to know that Rob Nichols, when he was in the incarnation of James Cook, was together with me at the Great Yorkshire Show promoting this food festival. So hopefully a few people who actually sort of received the flyers then will be out and about today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, great Yorkshire Show, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean...
We missed you, Lorna.
Oh, I wish I was there. I love events. I love street parties, and that's what Saltburn Food Festival is. It's a street party. We close the roads, put lots of tables and chairs, lots of places to sit down. Just come out and enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. York, questions?
I'm just blown away by, we've talked briefly about the organisation and everything. But it's great to see so many people out and about at this time in the morning, and it's quite early. Why do you think this event's particularly important for the local area?
I don't think we have anything else like this on Teesside. We've got the Saltburn Farmers Market. That spurred a few other markets. There's one in Gisborough, there's one in Middlesbrough. They're starting like Primrose in Redcar. So people have started to get a real appetite for it. I do think Saltburn's got an amazing base. We've got a lovely town centre. It's quite Victorian in its architecture. We've got lots of really kind of creative and very, very easygoing population in Saltburn. And then we've got the woods and the beach, you know, so a few hours on site before you, you know, go and dip your toes in the sea and off you go through the woodlands for a lovely walk.
Well, Lorna, already there are a collection of people waiting for your autograph and various other things sort of gathering around, so we'll leave you for the moment. But quick plug, a shameless plug, of course, quite rightly so, for your regular cafe, of course, which is Real Meals.
That's right, Real Meals. So we're now converted to the Fish Shack today. We go full-on fish barbecue, because, of course, we're on the northeast coast, so sardines straight out the sea on the barbecue, and we're doing sardine salads.
See, this is the kind of joined-up thinking, Lorna, that Boris Johnson needs, and if he's not in touch with you now, quite frankly, I think we're doomed.
Doomed.
Well, we've taken a short mini-break, and we've decided to actually come back to the wonderful joys of the International Food Festival and approach the wonderful folk at the Armenian Family Street Bar, and we're delighted to speak now to...
Anna speak, welcome, Armenian Street Bar, Family Street Bar, not American.
Well said, yes. Yes. Not an American street bar, an Armenian Family Street Bar. Armenia, of course, a wonderful part of the globe, etc. What sort of things have you got on offer for us at this International Food Festival?
Yes.
What can you offer us? What are these dishes?
We offer fantastic fresh salads. Our special heart is Armenian lobov, comes with walnuts, red kidney beans, of course, fresh herbs, our chicken horovats. It's delicious.
Absolutely outstanding, and it's going to be wonderful. York, any questions?
I have a number of questions. Just looking at the array here of foods that I've never seen before, particularly interested with the pomegranate and mint, the lobov that you mentioned. What is that sort of... Where does that come from? Is it, traditional? What's the sort of history?
Yes, it's a traditional paste, Armenian and Georgian paste. And they spread this paste with bread and is eat like snack. But we have more option and like salads, cabbage, tomatoes, and sauces, and our chicken, and also a veggie option with cheese, halloumi cheese.
Just absolutely wonderful, and I think you've described it perfectly. Now, my Armenian is non-existent, so I'd just like you to say, in Armenian, welcome to the Saltburn Food Festival. Okay, so in Armenian, please.
In Armenian, I'm Polish. It's vitam, zapraszamy, and we also speak Russia.
Fantastic.
Yes.
It's great. Well, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self. Хорошо. Хорошо. Очень хорошо.
Очень хорошо.
Well, from our wonderful Armenian friend, York, you saw this stand and said, I remember this when they actually launched in Newcastle.
Yeah, well, I was a big fan of Grange Market when I was at university.
Big fan of Grange Market.
And they set up like a little stall sort of when I was
in... A little tiny stall.
Yeah, it was only a little bit. It's grown since then and I've seen it all over.
It's not only the fact that actually Newcastle will be actually having a Millennium Eye, which they're going to call the YI. I know, amazing, could you believe it? But in terms of that, we've also got Geordie Bangers in a bun... And the awesome, your name, sir?
Dave,
you see, straight in there. And you're pointing at various other... Tell us about Geordie Bangers in a bun, pet. We're getting sort of back being past it. Honestly, it's a bit like trying to seek out the joys of Steve Bruce and various other bits and pieces. Okay, so we come across to the fabulous Dave, as mentioned, the ideal person to talk to about YI, and so on. The famous Geordie Banger. Tell us about it, please.
It's a mushroom, leek, and onion sausage. It's a best-selling one we do. It's very popular, very tasty.
You see, doing this just to obviously sort of work our way through this. Now, as a student, when you were up in Newcastle, was this something you just thought, actually, this is what made going to Newcastle just that bit more important?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Well, when you're in Granger Market, and there's like loads of butchers that do sort of student packs and stuff, but the meat is just pretty ropey stuff, you know. But Geordie Bangers, yeah, they always had some nice taste, little taste test that you could get on the side, and yeah, really good.
So, Dave, what led you to the Geordie Banger business?
Because it's a great brand, great taste, and it was something to get involved in. It's a grown family business, and it's expanding every day, bit by bit.
Well, clearly, and obviously you're expanding here to the joys of Saltburn as well. Now, in terms of that whole sequence, got to ask you the question, Steve Bruce fan, or do you just think he's going to be a pawn of Mike Ashley?
Just a pawn of Mike Ashley, as
always.
Shame.
Well, the other quick question is, are you providing Geordie bangers for the tune? Do they ask you for this? Because I think they should, really. It could actually be the difference between success and failure for many of their players.
Tell you what, we'll do it for free if Mike Ashley sells up.
Drastic thoughts, but you heard it first here on Southside Broadcasting On Location. It's the Geordie Banger Company. Website, where can people reach you on the socials?
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat.
And a few name checks for the fine four folk that you've actually got here. Who are they?
We've got Malcolm, Aaron, Liam, and myself, David.
Malcolm, Aaron, Liam, and David. That has to be a Geordie boy band. Go for it, guys.
It's the year team.
And we've currently started with our little audio promenade, and a fine, fabulous young lady has actually said, just come round the corner and do an interview with us. So some like two naive souls, we've actually decided to say, yes, we trust this young lady who's actually got a sausage on her stick from the aforementioned Geordie bangers. And your name is...
My name is Winifred Ruth English. I was the first tourism officer in the world for Middlesbrough a long time ago. First pregnant Captain Cook, believe it or not. And now I have a business called Winnie's Yorkshire Delights. I won the Local Product of the Year award in 2017, beating Mason's Gin with my beetroot relish. And I make 8 products, which are all homemade by me. I'm a one-person business, and I sing a song if you buy.
Well, I mean, this is just unbelievable. I have to say, the legendary Ruth English, we might have met in previous incarnations.
Maybe. Yeah, I worked in Middlesbrough, very proudly to say that, for 12 years.
Excellent.
When Smith Docks closed.
Well, let us progress. Please continue consuming your sausage on a stick, because that's always very important, and we can always fill with this as we actually look at a stand which, quite rightly, is Local Product of the Year, Winnie's Beetroot Relish. The welcometoyorkshire.com sign is actually up there as well. And I know we've spoken to Mason's Gin in times past, and certainly hats off to the way that they've actually coped with their particular challenges that they've actually had this year. But I think it's fair to say that Winnie's Yorkshire Delights with beetroot relish, gluten-free beetroot relish, autumn fruit chutney, apricot jam, and what other delights have we actually got here, York?
We've got apricot and rosemary jam, which is an interesting flavour combination there.
You can use that as a glaze on lamb, or mix it with natural yoghurt, or have it on toast. That's really tasty.
And you weren't kidding, obviously, Winnie. You have actually got the acoustic unplugged guitar upon your person.
Yeah, my father bought it for me about 51 years ago when I was at Richmond Convent for my sins. And I was at a folk festival near Beedale called Baumfest a few years ago, and nobody was coming into a marquee. And I thought, if I can market Middlesbrough and I can market the Peak District, which I did, I must be able to do something to get people to come into the marquee. So myself and another lady called Sharon Lashley, who's an environmental consultant, had a violin. And we came up with this song, which is called Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, the beetroot relish song.
I think it would be rude to actually say no. So without any further ado, take it away, Winnie.
Come and buy my beetroot relish, come and buy my beetroot relish, come and buy my beetroot relish, all you'll ever need. Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, born and bred in Yorkshire. Beetroot is a natural healer, great for treating things that ail you. Filled with goodness, well as flavour, bringing you the finest. Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, born and bred in Yorkshire. All ingredients supplied in Yorkshire, handpicked from the best suppliers. Following our traditional recipes, mainly cooked in Yorkshire. Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, born and bred in Yorkshire. Last verse. We sell Chinese jams and relishes, regional brand with authenticity. Never can buy some cost and quality, all from Winnie's Kitchen. Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights, Winnie's Yorkshire Delights. Where am I from? Where am I from? Born and bred in Yorkshire.
Yes, this week's number one, undoubtedly. Winnie, you're blown away. York?
Absolutely blown away. It's effectively Yorkshire's Sting, I think, we found here.
Yeah, I mean, if he was still in place, I'd say Gary Verity, this woman should be employed at a high fee.
I supplied some beetroot relish to the Tour de Yorkshire, the Sky television crew. There's a letter there. Because obviously beetroot's really good for you, and a lot of cyclists drink beetroot juice.
Well, this beetroot has been the theme of our experience at the wonderful food festival today, because earlier today, of course, York, where you were trying some beetroot wine.
I was. Beetroot and ginger wine, which was potent, to say the least. But it was fantastic. Yeah,
it
was really good.
Interesting.
And Winnie, last year, of course, rain challenges. This year, everything's going to be perfect as far as the weather is concerned. Where would you be heading off to after this?
Thirsk market tomorrow, because I do the markets all year round. Thirsk, Nathalatin, Stokesy on a Friday, Ripon sometimes on a Thursday. I've got stuff in products in Barker's Kitchen, Cheeseboard in Harrogate, and I'm just one person working my backside off. I've got a youngest daughter training to be a vet, and tough times are tough, but if you don't do it yourself, nobody else will do it for you.
Well, I thought it was going to be Lorna, actually, who I would say needs to actually be part of the current British government, because they could do a far better job. Yes. I think you should obviously join it as well.
I would love to join them, actually. I'd tell them, beat Brexit, get on with it, and use the talent of this country, because we're bloody good in this country.
Now, earlier when we were speaking to festival organiser and indeed founder Lorna, she was very keen to actually say, we've even got Greek material here as well, with the joys of phi pi, and I feel my Aristotelian joys of telesavalas and more things coming across in terms of Greek as we're about to speak to.
Hello, my name is Yanis Douglas. We are based in Newcastle. Our business is a family business. We do authentic Greek food. Everything is made by us, locally sourced. The meat comes from small farms in Durham. Our own recipes. We are very happy to be here with you today. It's our first time. I hope you like our food and be here again next year.
Absolutely. Yanis, I have to say, very impressed with the delivery from that point of view. York?
Absolutely. Fantastic. It just looks fantastic, yeah.
And they haven't even started putting out the food as yet, so even on that basis.
Wait for the smell. Everyone says it smells delicious.
Why phi pi?
Well, it's phi. It comes from... It has two meanings for us. First, F is the Greek letter F. It's a symbol in mathematics and in architectures. And also in the old world, it means that it's the number of perfection, or else the golden number, number of God. And it's the number that Acropolis and Taj Mahal was built, and it's the number of success. So we thought we want to be a successful business, well established in Northeast, and why not all over the country. So we represent us and success.
Which is fantastic. It's all about pi r squared, which is another sort of geometrical formula we can go into.
Absolutely blows my mind. I get lost in that sort of realm of things, so I try and keep to sort of more language-based things, keep the mathematics for a computer or someone with a bit more now.
You mentioned, Yanis, it's your first Saltburn Food Festival. What are your thoughts so far?
First of all, it's a lovely, lovely town. Everyone is very hospitable and very friendly. Let's see, why not?
Well, we will wish you all the very best. I'm sure we'll speak again very soon. And thank you for coming down and actually taking part in this fabulous event.
Thank you very much. I wish the best for the festival.
And we asked one of our Armenian colleagues to actually do a welcome to the festival in Armenian, and I think she did it in Polish as well as Russian. Would you like to actually give a Greek festival, a Greek translation to welcome to the Saltburn Food Festival?
Καλώς ήρθατε στο φεστιβάλ του Saltburn.
Clearly, when you actually sort of encounter a stand where the gentleman has just said you'll never get kidnapped if you actually have some pies, don't know why, we're delighted now to speak to.
Hello, my name's John Taylor.
John Taylor from Pies R Us.
Pies R Us, yeah.
And Eggs R Us.
Eggs R Us as well. And there we have some Cumberland and Stornoway Black pudding scotch eggs.
Well, I mean, clearly, York is just already set to actually go into this whole sequence. So, York, are you ready to actually test this Cumberland and Stornoway Black pudding?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I've already had such an array of food this morning, so I'm going to add
Well, whilst we let that... Talk to us about yourself. How did you get into this process in the first place?
I actually got into this business by mistake, because I was wanting to be a joiner.
Of course.
But that didn't happen, and I became a butcher instead.
Well, you're joining different things, or you're separating things, I suppose. Really.
Yeah, I'm just... Same sort of idea, just different. But no, I've been doing it for about 30 years now, and I've had my own shop for 12 years, and then I had a wee break, and then I got my bug back again, and I've got another shop, and...
It's going from strength to strength. And York, your thoughts?
Fantastic. Really nice, yeah. Yeah, you can taste the egg and the black pudding.
These are the gold award-winning... World Championship Scotch pies.
Go on then, I'll try one of those as well. Push the boat.
Tremendous one from this World Championship winning. It's nice to see that Scotland's winning World Championships in something, which is good.
Certainly no winning at football anyway. Well, the women have been no bad.
Anyway, life continues. That's the important thing. I won't even mention about the current incumbent of Westminster, but you should take over as soon as possible.
I know nothing about politics.
Nice, good sir, good response. That's what we'd like to hear. Let's hope it's not too long before we have to sort various other things. How did the world champion things go?
That was definitely a world champion pie. That was perfect. Really nice, really good.
Have you been a regular at the Saltburn Food Festival?
I've been once before, about 5 years ago, and we had a phenomenal day. Sold out by 1 o'clock, and I had to put signs up saying, sorry, none left. And I was getting that many people asking for Scotch pies. They were coming running up, Scotch pie, man, pop, man, sorry, I've none left. And I was, like, literally pulling my hair out. So we just put signs up and said, sold out, and we went away for a walk. So I've not been back, but I've tried and tried to get back this year, and I failed. But I got a phone call a few weeks ago. There's a space available, and I just grabbed it with both hands.
Lorna realised she needed the quality here just to make it perfect. Quick name check for your colleague who's also working with you.
Harry. Harry the Apprentice.
Harry the Apprentice. Hello, I'm Harry the Apprentice.
Harry the Apprentice, butcher stroke pie maker. But to be honest, he's decent at making pies. Thank you very much. Come down and try a pie. Pies are us on Facebook and Eggs are us on Facebook. We deliver, we can send stuff by courier. We just sent a huge order to Cheltenham last week, 50 kilos in weight. And that was pies and sausages and steaks and everything. So anybody gets in touch and I'll get out my way to send it.
And how far have you come for the Saltburn Food Festival today?
I think it's about 140 miles or something like that.
From
Kelso in the Scottish border.
There you are. Well, keep up the good work, and I'm sure if things don't go according to plan, we'll be moving north of the border fairly rapidly to sort things through.
You'll be very welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, it's amazing what you can actually discover when you're just having a little audio promenade through Saltburn, and we weren't aware of the joyous fact that is the Saltburn Allotment Association, and we're delighted to speak now to...
Jenny Marley.
Jenny, you've just been sharing with us how this particular area was effectively derelict. You've upcycled it. You've produced all sorts of things here. You're doing a variety of other bits and pieces here. Talk to us about what we've got here, and I'm sure we'll be joined in a few moments by Sue as well.
Yes, yes. Sue's the one who really started it all off. Okay. I think Sue is the one who...
She's coming along at this moment in time. So, Sue, you've been basically cajoled into doing this audio interview for Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio by your fabulous Cyril here.
So, right.
Sue is the lady we need to speak to. So, great stuff there. We were just saying about how amazing it is that you've actually upcycled this whole area into something which is literally growing new life.
It's a rather nice secret garden, isn't it? Yes, we're very pleased with it. Yes, it was once the old Victorian railway siding and turning circle. So there would have been a great big circle in the middle of the garden, turning the trains round for the Victorian ladies not to get their dresses dirty going into the Zetland Hotel.
So clearly that was the 19th century, part of the 20th century. Here we are in the 21st century, and this is probably ideal for anybody who's got any green credentials whatsoever.
It is, yes. All that we grow now is clear of the contamination that we found here. We were given good advice and support from the local authority to do that. We've got four lovely tall raised beds, and we grow a range of vegetables depending on what our volunteers who grow with us want to grow. We've got two smaller beds that grow flowers for people that like flowers. Nice little seating area for people to chill. And today we've got loads of lovely, lovely fresh produce from the Allotment Association for sale. All fresh grown, all fresh made.
And makes perfect sense, obviously, given the whole theme of the International Food Festival as well, from that point
of
view.
Exactly, yes, yes. And we're always pleased to be part of the food festival and the monthly farmers markets, and like to support Lorna in the work that she does here.
York.
I think it's fantastic to see this allotment, because I've been to Saltburn many times from Stockton and never sort of come across it. But my grandfather used to have an allotment, so it's really nice to sort of see locally grown produce. But where did that sort of drive to create something like this in Saltburn? Where did that sort of come from then?
We started off, the Allotment Association had a long waiting list of people wanting allotments, and also a lot of people who got allotments and then didn't know what to do. So in partnership with the Adult Learning Service, Redcon Cleveland Adult Learning Service, we set up a grow your own training course with accreditation, and we were based at what was then called Upsall Hall Rural Centre, which was a local authority, well, farm, cafe, kitchen garden, and we got the funding to develop the kitchen garden into an accessible garden for growing. When the local authority closed Upsall Hall Learning Centre because it wasn't viable any longer, we searched around for a new place to come and found here. It was Consteel then that let us use here rent-free. And then it turned out that the landlord that owned this plot of land decided he wanted to sell it. And thanks to a legacy, the Allotment Association was fortunate enough to be able to buy it. So this secret paradise is ours and will always be ours.
I can sense a movie in the offing here. It's, take that, Cal and the girls. I think we've actually got the Saltmond Allotment Association, which we'll be working through in all sorts of ways. How can people stay in touch with you via social media?
Oh, now then, I don't do social media, ooh, so that's very hard.
Well, then, we'll obviously have to set up accounts, etc.
We have got a Facebook page, and one of our younger members who knows all about it does it, and it's probably just Saltburn Allotment Association. I'm sure anybody that knows about these things could find us.
Excellent. It's been a joy sharing some thoughts with your good self. A plug, it's going across the... Come on, let's go back to the person who sort of promoted you, Sue. Tell us when are the opening times?
We have a shop that's open on a Sunday, 10 till 11:30. With compost and fertilisers and various other things.
Everything you might wish to actually know. Yeah, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with you. Sue, I'm glad you managed to join us. But, yeah, I mean, basically you need a pay increase for both your other team who actually sort of have done wonderful stuff.
Yes,
to sort you right.
And we need you to bring people in to buy some things as well. So good luck.
You can say that the 2019 Saltburn International Food Festival, which we're covering in association with farmernord.co.uk and indeed for the midweek drive on Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting, has really taken off when Jenny Finch is here. Yay, Jenny!
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Alex and York. Nice to speak to you.
Well, Jenny, York's so far... York, share with us and Jenny where we've been so far, what we've been doing.
Well, we've been to an array of stalls so far. I've tried beetroot wine, I've had some honey, I've had a fantastic brownie that almost... Well, it almost wrote me off for the rest of the day, but then I managed to squeeze in a little bit of pie. We've had a sing-song with a lady who sold some beetroot relish. It's been absolutely fantastic.
It's quite an experience. It sounds like you're experiencing it to the max already. And it's not 11 o'clock yet.
Jenny, we're in your hands now because we're in Saltburn. It's your manor. You take us around where you wish to. I gather we've got another honey makers who actually produce dashed good honey and beauty products as well.
Absolutely. Best honey I've ever tasted. In fact, that's what I had for breakfast, which is the only reason I'm actually awake and on my paws at this point.
So is there honey still for tea?
Oh, there is indeed.
Jenny, once again, you've shown that insider knowledge which is just unparalleled when it comes to Saltburn. And hopefully in a few moments' time, we're going to speak to another award winner.
Yes, indeed. The gentleman who runs Garth Cottage Herbs very modestly doesn't put big signs up outside, but he has actually got several Royal Horticultural Society gold medals and is one of the finest herb growers and makers of herb products in the country. And he's a damn nice bloke as well.
Well, this sounds wonderful. And hopefully if we can grab a few moments with him in a few seconds, that'd be superb. We'll just talk about the Garth Cottage Herbs, of course. Culinary herbs, garlics, chilies, balsamics, oils, dressings and olives. From North Hallerton, I see.
That's right, yes. You can also buy growing herbs from him. I have been I've been trying for ages to get a rue plant, which is a very old-fashioned, very lovely herb. He had a very small one. Now it's a small tree in my back garden, and it's making lots of baby rue plants. So I think I'll bring them back to him so he can sell them again.
Just a quick description of the way that the buzz is occurring in this fabulous place, which of course is Milton Street in Saltburn.
It is. It's the heart of the festival at this point, although the festival now goes right through Station Square and oozes its way along the other side. It just gets bigger every year.
Yeah, we spoke to some wonderful people from Armenia, Poland, Greece, and even Newcastle-on-Tyne with their Geordie bangers.
Why, they've come a long way, haven't they? We're definitely on the map if the Geordies are coming.
You may say that, Jenny. I couldn't possibly comment. I thought they were wonderful. They even had a very restrained view when it came to Mike Ashley.
No, really?
Do you want to do it?
We'll just come through this now. Jenny has actually proven that she's actually done the business, and we're actually coming all the way around behind the scenes, and we're about to speak to this Royal Horticultural Society winning soul, whose name is...
Paul Turner from Garth Cottage Herbs.
Fantastic. Now, Jenny's already spoken about how fantastic these herbs actually are. Just talk us through why you were inspired to develop this in the first place.
A love of good food, that's the thing, yeah. So we're culinary herb specialists, really. So not medicinal or anything like that. Very much hardcore culinary herbs.
Which is very much at the heart of the whole festival, so great stuff from that point of view.
It is, yeah. And I have real good repeat customers here that really know their stuff, you know. So they're wanting lovely things like French chervil, Greek oreganos, French tarragon. As I say, they know their stuff, so they expect to have good things.
Is there a secret to growing an award-winning herb?
Herbs like to be used, which is great, because that's why you're buying them, and within reason, the more you pick them, the better they come back, and the better the plants look, and that's really the secret, using them and pruning them properly.
Let's bring in York here, who's also joined us behind the whole system. York, your questions.
I just wondered, you know, obviously you've got such a fantastic array of herbs here, from obviously all over the world. Mm. Would you say that Britain is a particularly sort of good ecological climate to keep herbs going? Like, what's your sort of secrets to...
Yeah, it is. I collect herbs from all over the world, so I'll go to France, I'll go to California and collect herbs. And people envy us our climate, believe it or not, because it is a temperate climate. For all it drives you crazy, it's wonderful to grow herbs in. Most herbs are hardy perennials, and they love our climate. There's a few exceptions. Basil's a bit tough here, but by and large, we have an excellent range of herbs in this country, because we collected from all over the world, because we had an empire all over the world, and so now cooks are benefiting from that.
Fantastic, yeah.
Garth Cottage Herbs is, of course, the place to go to, and I see you've got all the various social medias, including presumably garthcottage@gmail.com.
That's right, yes, yeah, and we're on Facebook a lot and things, but we go all over the north of England and a little further south now as well.
And your thoughts on this 2019 food festival? Because that weather-wise seems to be absolutely perfect, really.
It's perfect for it. Last year it cancelled, more or less, sort of thing. But this is a perfect day for everybody. And look, I mean, it's just full. Everybody's had the best time here. They really are.
Well, I know in terms of customer satisfaction, Jenny Finch, our local crime writer extraordinaire, has already been singing your praises, as we said at the start. So if you can keep Jenny happy, then obviously you've got something magical here.
We haven't we? Yes, there we go. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, we knew that when Lorna actually said, Gunther, he's the best. He is the best, because he's got memories of the Black Forest, or indeed Schwarzwald,
yeah,
to be precise.
Yes.
Gunther, good to connect with you, good self. How long have you been on Teesside, Gunther?
We live in Newcastle.
Well, Newcastle.
So this is the first time we've been to Saltburn. Saltburn?
Saltburn by the sea.
Yeah, Saltburn.
Saltburn
am
Zee.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Gunther, share with us the joys of memories of the Black Forest. What have we actually got here?
Well, obviously, I'm originally from the Black Forest, we started this business off about 4 years ago. I was previously in catering and hospitality management, and we thought, you know, Newcastle was a little bit of a culinary desert when we kicked off.
Quite right. Full of Geordies. But now...
well, the Quayside now has transformed the whole thing. When we started off, it's only about 4 years, 5 years now at the most, we were the only... There was one other food stall that did a German sausage. A different kind of product. There's lots of different bratwurst around, that must be said. So we import ours. It's 150 gram high. What we like to say is a high-end product.
It's a quality sausage.
You know? That's right, it's quality sausage, it doesn't compare. And unfortunately, there are lots of imitations around, which is a shame. We spot them every so often, but hey.
Well, only one official sort of memories of the Black Forest now. Right. Clearly, will have been around on the Quayside when you were studying there, I would have thought.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've definitely seen it on the Quayside, I'm pretty sure. And probably the Newcastle has its own sort of food festival near Monument, doesn't it?
So yeah, we don't do that.
Okay.
We don't often work in Newcastle, funny enough. There's okay. So many events. You know, North Yorkshire, or South Yorkshire's much better for us to work, frankly, than up in Newcastle. There's not much going on. But saying that, we know people always associate us with bratwurst. That's not. We do a nice schnitzel and a sandwich with a sort of special herby mayonnaise. We do spätzle, Schwäbier noodles, totally unique, with a cheese sauce. It's the German answer to mac and cheese, as we always say. Although this, you know, it's a noodly thing. We make a cheese sauce with Emmental cheese, so it's quite a unique taste. And it goes down well. Vegetarians love it. But you've got to always cater for the veggies, you see. So
absolutely, and quite really soon. Now, is there a web address that people can actually find out about Gunther's Memories of the Black Forest? And yes, I see it. It's there under, of course, Memories of the Black Forest. .com would be fine from that point of view. Purveyors of the very best bratwurst.
Oh, well, that's us bragging a little bit, you know what I mean?
Gunther, we've already had people from Greece, from Armenia, from Poland actually share this. Can I invite you to, in German, possibly say, welcome to the Saltburn Food Festival, and you're listening to Southside Broadcasting. Okay, over to you.
So do you want me to say
translate that? It to in German, please.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Herzlich willkommen zum Food Festival in Saltburn in Nordostengland.
Superb. Absolutely fantastic. You even got Northeast England in there. Ausgezeichnet, mein Herr. Ausgezeichnet.
Okay, vielen Dank.
Jenny has been relocated once again. Honestly, it's like finding where's Wally these days. But you've managed to also just find out where Beehive Beauty products were located, looking after your skin as nature intended.
Absolutely, yes. This is one of my favourite stalls. They are good friends of mine as well.
Well, York has already sort of done the taste. I think, York, from what you were saying there, you've been shaking your head. Is that a positive shake of the head?
It is a positive shake of the head. I'm blown away by that cream tonny. That is a taste that I've never... It's hard to put into words what I've just experienced, but the taste buds are happy, definitely.
Welcome to my breakfast, York. I have that every morning. I love it.
It's fantastic. It's the right amount of sort of creaminess, but also sweetness. But it's not too overly either of those two flavours. It's nicely balanced.
It's Saltburn, sunny Saltburn in a jar.
It's really good. Really good.
I feel as though we can almost wrap up the programme now, basically sort of deal with highlights at this particular stage. But we're hopefully going to have a few words with one of the fine folk behind this, whose name, of course, is?
There's Sue and Paul.
Okay, well, Jenny, once again, we're in your hands. If you'd like to wave, maybe they might acknowledge you. Maybe they're so busy, obviously, with people who are actually delighted with this whole thing, that we just don't know what's going to be happening. But we could grab a few words. That would be fine. She it's success, you see. Jenny has brought a success. Sue, good to connect with a good soul.
Oh, hello. Good to see you, too.
Before we go any further, I'll just invite York in to actually share with your good self as you made the honey. York, your thoughts about the honey?
Absolutely fantastic. The cream honey was fantastic, really. I thought it was just a sort of set honey, but it actually is creamy. Yeah.
No cream added, just whipped up by my husband in a Hobart mixer. So, yeah, and all single hive, so each batch tastes completely different.
Yeah. So not only was Jenny a key fan of yours, Jenny Finch, but also York as well. Clearly, it sells itself, really.
Yeah, so all that's left to do is for you to actually try the honey yourself.
Well, you know, you might well persuade. Talk to me about some of the other things that we've got here with respect to Beehive Beauty products.
Okay, so what we do is we use the honey, obviously, at one end of the stall, and then the other end, we actually use the wax from the girls, and we make all these moisturising creams and bath oils and things like that from it. So everything is completely natural on our stall. We know everything comes from. It's great for even the most sensitive skin. Again, Jenny's a regular customer, and yeah,
it's a sensitive soul.
Yeah, it's just a good all-rounder, and I've even made a Cool Spider aftershave balm for my husband because he said he didn't want one that smelt girly, and I sell as much of that to ladies as men.
And Jenny's already actually handing out hard cash just for this. It's fantastic. York, any questions?
I'm just intrigued about the sort of medicinal side of honey. How has it got so many benefits?
Right, so honey, by the very fact that bees collect the pollen and the nectar, they're putting in all those natural antioxidants into that honey and into the hive. So when you're using like local honey that's not being heat treated, it contains all those natural antioxidants. It's like if you have honey, which is a natural food that never goes off, it's a unique food, and it starts to crystallise, that doesn't mean it's gone off. What it means is all you do is put it into some warm water, in the jar obviously, not out of the jar, and then stir it round and it'll come back, because They found honey in the tombs in Egypt over 2,000 years ago, and it's still edible today. So it doesn't go off, although the EU says it's a novelty food and we aren't allowed to put more than 5 years on it.
So best before either 5 years or 5,000 years?
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
It's a good barometer, definitely, a good barometer.
Okay. I mean, Rob, of course, is working with you. How has the market been panning out for today, basically, or the food festival for yourself?
Well, so far it's been really good. We had some people here at 8:30 this morning wanting to buy things, which was good. We've had a couple of people that came 2 years ago when the market was on who haven't been since, but have bought our honey and bought a couple of other things. So hopefully it's going to be a great day. It stays overcast, that will be fine.
Jenny, I'll just bring you into this routine. I noticed, Jenny, you were singing the praises of how people can listen to this podcast even in Japan.
Yes, we have some listeners in Japan. We have listeners in Australia, America, all over the world. And what's more, it stays up there. We're still getting hits from the very first one 4 years ago.
That is absolutely amazing.
So any sort of advice you'd like to give to the rest of the world from Saltburn?
Yeah, from Saltburn. Saltburn is the most amazing town in the world. If you can ever come here, come, go on the cliff lift, come for the food festival. The people are wonderful. And at the end of the day, you know, just if you can't come to Saltburn, at least put some flowers in your garden so you can encourage bees.
Beehive Beauty Products, of course, looking after your skin as nature intended. The web address is?
And we did have a website.
But you've got a Facebook site?
But we have a Facebook site. The Facebook is Beehive Beauty Products. And if you go onto there, it tells you where we are, our events, all that kind of thing. We're at Saltburn Farmers Market the second Saturday of each month. And we're here just to help you along.
A few weeks ago, Jenny, of course, you took Emily and myself onto the pier to actually look at the yarn bombers.
I did indeed, yes.
Now, of course, on the 28th of July, we're at the International Food Festival at Saltburn, and you've brought York and myself to actually look at something else more wonderful.
Yes, last year the yarn bombers and a lot of just ordinary knitters in town produced a whole series of flowers to weave around the arch at the entrance to the station. It was mainly rained off last year, but a lot of people came from all over the world, went home, and this year when they came to put the flowers up, little packets of flowers came from Finland, Australia, New Zealand, America. People had gone home, knitted their own flowers, a few butterflies, a seahorse somewhere, and sent them to be included in the arch, so the arch is getting increasingly international.
It's fantastic. It's so nice to hear, it's the International Food Festival, but it truly is international in all aspects. It looks fantastic. It's such a range of colours, such intricate sort of knitwork, really. So yeah, it's brilliant.
Well, yes, and if anyone who knitted something and sent it is listening to this, we would like to say thank you so much. It means a lot.
Well, we're almost coming to the end of our general snapshot of coverage for this year's great event, although I did actually notice that the gourmet Scotch egg people are here, so I might actually drop by their particular area to actually chat with their experiences so far. Jenny, what are your particular highlights this year?
I think the fact that they've managed to pull it together again this year after last is very, very important. I think the atmosphere is very relaxed and friendly. There's no stress, there's no arguments, even the dogs aren't fighting. There's a lovely range of food. It's truly international, and also a lot of local people here as well.
So you're saying that actually the current occupants of 10 Downing Street could probably learn from this sort of event?
Well, I hope it survives the current occupants, because I'm not sure it will.
York, what about yourself? Any particular highlights from yourself?
I think my highlight's definitely going to have to be that brownie that just really took my breath away. Salted caramel, just moist and just heavy, but in all the best ways.
The brownie as opposed to the honey?
Oh, that is a good... That whipped cream honey that has no cream in it but tastes so creamy was fantastic. But
rhubarb gin? Or rather, the beetroot gin?
Oh, the beech... Oh, well, I said... The beetroot sort of put you on your back and goodbye for the rest of the day. That was...
You held yourself together perfectly well, York.
Thank you very much. It's a lot of acting and, trying to...
Newcastle University will be proud of you, don't worry, it'll be fine. Jenny, any other little highlights you want to share with us?
Just, it's here. If you're close enough, come on down. If you're not, come next year. It just gets bigger and better every year.
Now, Jenny hasn't quite finished with her little guided tour of the festival because she's actually insisted we go across to the Licorice Tooth, and we're delighted to speak now to
Peter.
Peter, good to connect with your good self. Quick plug for your two fine souls who are actually working with you today.
Yes, we've got Kat and Sarah working with us today. So it's, we knew it was going to be busy, so we thought we'd need a lot of people on the stall. So it's working really well.
And Kat and Sarah can actually deal with the serving whilst you're dealing with the media demands, which is way forward. Now talk to us about the Licorice Tooth, please.
Yeah, so we started off about 4 years ago. We wanted to do some like flavoured vodkas and gins, but it was just at the time then when gin was becoming really popular. So we found in our first year we were selling two or three bottles of gin to every bottle of vodka. So we decided to go all over to the gin. So now we do three or four different types of gin, and it's really popular, and it's really selling well.
Well, I can see already Slingsby and Masons will be sort of saying, oh, the Licorice Tooth are after us, and quite rightly so, because I think the quality is obviously pretty good.
It is, yes, and we know Masons. We've done a few gin festivals with them, and there is a real quality there, and hopefully one day we'll be as big as they are.
I'm sure it'll happen, and we'll connect with Southside, and who knows what magical things will be there. How are you finding the food festival?
It's been really good. We've done this one before like three or four times, and it's always like one of the highlights of the year. It's unbelievable just the amount of people who turn up, and even at this time when it's only like midday, it's so packed, and it's just so busy all the time, and we're always selling bottles, so it's really good.
Well, we've certainly already seen some of the fine folk who we've already connected with, the Great Yorkshire Show people, like of course the wonderful Blueberry Farm Preserves. I see the brown and blonde girls are actually down the line there. I think even the Joys of Gourmet Scotch Egg is with us. So will you be at the Great Yorkshire Show next year?
We'd love to. We have applied to get in a couple of times. We've never actually managed to get in there yet, but we do persevere, and hopefully soon we'll get in there.
Well, yeah. Now you can mention that you've obviously been featured by Southside Broadcast, so you also cover that. It's only a matter of time, surely.
Yes, hopefully, yes.